So we are on a new mimer on the same subject, however, which we've been talking about for a couple of weeks now. I think this is the third week, which is the human being. He was created, why and how. In the first section of this last two, we talked about more about how than why. Tonight we're going to talk about more about why than how. But just to recapitulate, the how the man was created. He was created from a lump of dirt, and a soul was blown into him, or we'll call him it, because another thing we learned is that at the beginning, man was composed. It says, let us make man in our image, and this is plural. And the plurality is male and female. And from that plurality of male and female that was embedded in the first human being, he separated out the female from the male in order that there should be a additional and opposite quality that the human would be able to interrelate with. His quality, now that he became a man as opposed to this human, which was male and female, was predominantly projective, that is, projecting himself into the world. And that projection into the world needs to have some temperedness and some limitation and some boundedness and some shape and some seichel. What I mean by that is if it were just unbounded and infinite, it wouldn't be able to be directed, it wouldn't be able to be contained, it wouldn't be able to be shaped into form. So it needed something which would, in a sense, oppose it. But oppose it not in the sense of drowning it out, but to shape it, to conform it, to give form to that which is inherently infinite. And so we've come up with a structure, God comes up with a structure, which is the structure of outside of this being, he's going to create this thing called Isha, which is taken from the male. That's why it's called Isha, from the man. And it's going to reflect back. And we explored quite at length the concept that's brought into citizen a lot about, which is called Or Choizeh, the reflective light. Reflective light, he says, very simply, well, think about a reflective mirror. A reflective mirror allows you to see something behind you that you couldn't see. We talked about the rearview mirror. And how does it work? It works by a thin film of silver blocking out some of the transparency. And if that film is just at the right level of thinness and not too thick, it will cause a reflection back, which causes the projective quality to grab to attention and say, what do I want to do? What do I want to do with my energy? I don't want to be just a flood. That's another example. We archisnaya, flooding of water, just projecting without any boundary, versus water that's tapered and made into droplets by some kind of conforming pressure. And that's the dialogue between male and female. It's pretty much what we covered. Shani, you. Okay. Huh? It's on the carpet. I know. So this is really cool. All right. Anything that you want to, guys? I'm, you know, doing very this very quickly. But anything you want to bring up from last week, or anything that's worth saying? Okay, so let's. So what I'm going to do tonight is we're going to say, let's look at that structure that we've just spoken about, male and female. There was this singularity, and inside that singularity were two possibilities of emergence, one projective, one reflective. And so what he did is he split it. He split it horizontally. He made an asira down the middle, and he split it horizontally. Tonight we're going to learn about a vertical structure, the structure of the human being from top to bottom. I'll start, and before we start, I'd like to dedicate this class, as always, to the neshama of our friend Bundi, Shlomi Ben Moshe, and ask if anybody on the line, if there is anybody, or at the table, wants to, any names for the Jewish flamers or dedications. Rachel bat Naomi. Okay. For a foolish phone number.
No.
It's the dedication.
And a foolish phone number for Charna Alexandra.
Charna.
Charna
Charna Alexander Bas Anna Esther. All right. Okay, Lahavin Hatam. To understand the reason, in the Stani Yetzirah Gufa Adam, that there was a change in the way the body of a human was created, Nishar Kol HaNevroim, for all the other creatures. Kameshat Sameach, for instance, the plant life, the vegetation, Ve'achai, and the animal life, Shekulam Nivra Gufam Agidei Maimon HaShem, they were all created in one speech. They were created, he created Nasid Desha, he created Desha, he created verbal, let the land bring forth vegetation. Asa Mazriya, a seed bearing plant. Eight Isa, and he made a tree, a fruit bearing tree. Eight Isa tree, a tree which bore fruit. The Yechen, he spoke. And so it was. That's the language, right? The name of the Yah, he spoke and he came into being. He spoke the pain and it was. The pain, similarly, the Yah Hanishi. On the fifth day, it says, Yishritzu Hamayim Sheretz Nefesh Kar. That the waters swarm with a swarming living soul. These were the fish. The Chen the Kulam, and all of them, Harisha, Oritz, Hatsir, Hesar, Sabin. The land just burst forth with vegetation. There's a lunas and trees, fall after the ethical nature who appetized each one being the way it is, as it is going to be forever. Which I think we mentioned this last week, but this answers the what seems to be puzzling a lot of people, which is which was created first. And we know now the answer is Hanan. Well, we don't know the
chicken.
A chicken. Because he said, let the animals come up and sprout and live. Let the fish come up and sprout. Yeah, well, that's, you know. But in any case, it's not to be put on the spot. It's just to elicit the idea that we can show, that we need to understand what's being said here, that he's saying with one breath, one word of his mouth, let there be this, and there it is. But there it is. It wasn't that he said, let there be an egg, and the egg would develop. No, he said, let there be animals. The hand the Fulham, and likewise in Elba, Adisha Odis, Hitzias Asodin, the earth brand sprung forth its vegetation, the Asodonis and the trees, just as it is in Elba. Ema Nevishat Semech, the fruit of the plant life came with its flesh, with its fiber, and its living soul within it, one shot. The hand Gama Balakai, also the animals, the Yitzir Odis Gantin. They were created alive, not growing, gestating, and growing, or an egg which develops. They were created alive. There's a day, there, there's a body, and the life. The Gan Hamayim Sheretzu HaSheretz Nefesh Chaya, and also the water, which swarmed with living things. These were the fish, the Dagim, and the Dagim. Gan Ken Kamosh Shehem. They were all created as they are. Everything is created in the body and the soul, the physical and the spiritual, in one other. This is what's meant by the Latin Russian in the Torah, Yitziva, Benevro. He commanded, and there it was created. The Meshahen after just like now, command resolved, voice and Nebra, they were created the way they are in the stature that they are in. Masha'en Kenim Vidyasa Adam. Not so the human being. Human being created in a totally different way. And as the Gufi the healer first, his body was created. As I said, he sketched it out in the dirt. This Me'asloi, it was upper, it was dirt. Li Shum Nefesh Yunus, it was dirt, without any enlivening soul within it. Mr. Kosovo, as is written, the Yetzir Hashem on the Kinas, the other offer of Yinan Dabbah, God Elohim, by the way, Hashem Elohim harks back to what we learned the last 2 weeks. Hashem is the projective quality. Elohim is the reflective or containing quality. So both of them are involved in creation. The creative energy is Hashem, and the forming, shaping, molding energy is Elohim. It says, but however, Elohim, when he created the man, he created an upper him a garment, cast in there. As it says in our Savior said, God is showing us seven offerings. In the first hour, he created a pile of dirt. That's all we were. And with the fear of Golem. And at the beginning, maybe you know people like this today, but everybody was a Golem. Everybody was just a lump of clay.
And some people are still keep this going.
Yeah.
I'll tell you.
At least that's what we can do. However, this love, this had no life. It was just dirt. Dirt. You are just, that's how the Maharam the Frog created the garden. That's why we call it a garden. That what? If you ever, in English, you have the word, he's a quad. Have you heard that expression? He or she is a quad.
Like
not so sensitive, right? So there's a golem quality still in every the dirt quality, the very basic, basic down to earth. So the down to earth, but this is a really down to earth, really down to earth that has no life yet invested in it whatsoever. Just be, it's just a sketch in the dirt. So first he created that. The Ma'amah Shal Rishonah has just piled up a pile of dirt. And in the beginning, it was just a goyim, just a lump of dirt stretched out in the shape of an egg. So Mr. Kosev, as is written, in the passage, Dal Nedo U Einecha, that says, your eyes saw my unshaped form. The passage in Philip. Galni, my unshaped form, Ra'u Einecha, your eyes saw. And that's the way we work. There's some I don't know how long or short period of time. At Jachachach, until afterwards, then step number two, the Yipok Ma'apok Nishmas Chayim, he blew into his nostril the soul of life. So we didn't come up from the dirt, we humans. We humans didn't come up from the dirt the way every other creature did, body and soul together. We didn't come up from the dirt. The way we are now. The Yais Boy Nefesh of the unit, the Hamid Abedis, that we have an enlivening soul and a speaking soul. Now, look what would happen. Shalokas Ofra, he took dirt, the Osimimen the Goof, and he designed the body. The Achacha, afterwards, Nachach Neshama the Apoy, he blew a soul into. This gives us a faculty which surpasses all other creatures. And that faculty is shiftless. Vazehu within is shiftless. This is the essential lowerness, the capacity for humility, the capacity to make oneself like the dust of the earth that nothing, no other creature has. Shuffle. Shuffle means low. Shuffle drop. Yeah? You got it?
Lowliness.
Good. Pardon?
Lowliness.
Lowliness, bittul, humility.
So, what's the difference
between shiftless and bittul? That's an excellent question.
Mm.
I think I've told you many times why I can think of what I said, so that's an excuse for the answer. Or I have to think about the answer. Or we all have to think about it.
They're both like.
So, whatever we're going to say was put on the table, unless someone at the table has actually learned something about the difference.
I mean, they sound very similar.
Is our opinion of what's the difference between shiftless and
I think bittul is a better balance between Bishmiri Nivraha Ailam and also Tipas, like the balance between knowing that Hashem created the world for you and having a purpose in this world and also knowing that you come from the dust of the earth. Shiftless, on the other hand, is literally just feeling like the dust of the earth. It's like it's humbleness, but without purpose. I feel like it's interesting because I wrote in a poem once, lowliness, the feeling, though, is humble not.
Lowliness, so you are distinguishing
right.
Humility and lowliness.
Right. So humility is that, I think it's the proper balance between knowing that Hashem created you for a purpose, but knowing that if somebody else were given the opportunity, they might be able to do it better than you. Like Moshe Rabbeinu had true anavos, like that's true, it. Like bittul.
There's another one, anivus.
Anivus, right.
Anivus is a
humility.
Yeah, it's a person. It's a personality.
More of an adjective.
A verb. A characteristic.
I always translate it humble. He was the most humble, anav.
Anav is humility.
Yeah.
It's not bittul though, because and it's not shiftless. I would say shiftless is like, I mean, I don't know, I'm talking out of
borderline or
whatever. But it seems to me that shiftless is more of like a lowered state, like a lower.
Well, not depressed. You don't mean depressed.
No, but it's just like maybe like a lower in modern mumbo jumbo like vibration, you know. And then bittul, I think, would be somewhere in the middle. And anivus is, I think, actually a very high level of avodas Hashem, because it's related to Moshe Rabbeinu. Like, Moshe Rabbeinu is the king of anivus, you know, like, even though it's not like...
Right. Let's say a couple of things operationally. Chazalis says, you should be shvav, shvaver of lower spirits in front of every person. And then avoida, there's a whole avoida bit. You don't hear at least too much about the avoida of shiftless.
Right, we don't talk about shiftless.
It's more like, maybe it's more like a state. Does this thing, is it fit with your
more passive?
More passive, yeah. And there's avoida, making yourself, nullifying yourself by putting aside your yeshus. And that we always use the expression bit, avatul.
I think this was more relatable for us, like people
in this question. I'm going to look into that.
It's a very good question. I think the root of all of it, nevus and shiftless, and is the shiftless. The fact that how can I put myself aside by realizing that of all creatures, well, oh, there's no expression for afiliyitish kadma. It's brought in many places. Even a fly preceded you in the order of creation. There's another thing to it. We're the last thing that was created. We're last in his deed. So even a fly was created before. All right. So the fact, from our perspective in this moment, the fact that we originated as an inanimate lump of dirt, not like anything else, which was animated right from the scratch. So this is the root of difference.
Yeah, a guy by the name of Randy Shapiro is commenting, and he's saying that it's a machlekes in Avodah Zarah, what the greatest midah is.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
No, he's just letting us know that there's a machlekes about it.
Okay. Maybe you could tell us.
Randy, if you could tell us what you've learned, that would be
great. Yeah, great. But clearly shiftless is one of them, and bittul. I mean, you can put them all together. To put yourself aside is definitely bittul. To hold yourself lower than someone else so that you see the virtue of other people. Okay? But that was shiftless. And it comes from the fact that we were created as a lump of dirt. Because shiftless the Gabi Adam, this is the quality of lowness that a person can have. Because our bodies are lower in level than the bodies of animals. Because our bodies are made from inanimate stuff.
What are animal bodies?
The nefesh, Devar Hashem, that's the answer.
We're made out of clay and they're made out of Devar Hashem.
They're made out of Devar Hashem. Right.
Exactly.
But of course, that's our body.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but afterwards, he took something also very special.
Sorry, where are we
holding
the
I'm
not.
I'm holding my arm to become his diamond.
Gotcha.
He takes into this lowest of the low, and he blows into it. Meipach ba'apav nishmas hayim. He blows into it a living soul, a soul of life. So even here you say mufcha bin abroi. And in this respect, we are the most literally chosen. We're the crown of creation. We're the top of the heap, right? In the stratification of things, the medaber is on the top. And this is what's written in Tillim, the same Tillim that said that your eyes saw me as a lump of clay. Acher v'kedem tzafoni, last and first you created. Last of the deeds of creation. First in God's thought. That's what the Chazal said. When David HaMelech says, Acher v'kedem tzafoni, back late, last and first, last in the deed of creation, first in God's thought.
There's like a two sides of the
totally same coin. Two-sided, but not even two sides of the same coin.
Right, it's not the same coin, it's just two different sides.
With a lot of separation in between, right?
Yes.
As he's going to explain.
Because you're either, a gnat preceded you, or I was the first thing in God's thought.
But here it's not an either or, it's a both.
Seemingly from our limited human perspective, they're two totally opposing viewpoints, but they're not.
Opposing.
So this always brings it together into a nice,
way.
Beautiful.
Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe someone else would like to take on.
He said, it's in Abayi Zohar 20b, that Pinchas ben Yahir goes through all the levels of connecting to Hashem, the same levels quoted in Mesilas Yesharim. And Rivka Rosenberger mentioned the ego is an illusion, yet we are driven to be our best selves, the epitome of contradiction.
Okay.
Is the ego our best self?
The ego is a contradiction. An illusion of contradiction.
The ego is the self?
The ego is the sense of
self-fullness.
The voice has is the id.
Full of oneself.
The ego.
You don't have that. It's all.
But. What's that?
Bithel, no ego left.
Bithel is nullifying the ego. Shiftless, it's interesting you say that. To my mind, it's even before that. This is dirt. I don't know. The dirt has no ego. A human has to mabakal the ego. I don't know what I think. Okay.
Okay, Aqua, help me understand the difference between the way everything else is created in the Divar Hashem all at once and the way that we created in a two step motion. Did you want to read that?
I would like to read, but I'm not in the right place, so give me 1 second.
So I'll take on it.
Yeah.
To understand this, Ama ulam, how and why? Nihiyosa came. Why did he do it this way? Ayinin is this. Line begins with.
Why did he do what this way? That he created the animals from Dvar Hashem and man from clay.
Yeah, the man.
That's the question.
No, not exactly. It's more in the focus of man. We tell us animals are created one way, right?
Right.
He created us in a totally different way.
Right.
Why aren't we created the way the animals are, like everything else is created? And why, and to DeVore's point, lurking behind here, not only are we created in a two-step motion, but we're created in such a way that it's almost a paradox, that the deepest level of neshama gets invested in the dirt.
Thank you.
They're very far apart, and that's what he's going to go into now.
Okay, I could read.
Inyan.
Ha'inyan, sorry. Ha'inyan hu, ki hine dalad echinais, de tzemach chaya medaber, im keneged dalad aisyes, de shem havaya.
So the four levels that there are in created stuff on planet Earth, the inanimate, dirt, the animate, plant, vegetative, then the animal, and then the speaker, four levels. And these four levels each stand for and are embodiments of one of the letters, the four letter name of God.
Hadaimim hu kumai afar ravanim. The inanimate is dirt and stones. She'ein la'gido.
So that's the characteristic, right, of the gift. It doesn't grow.
Right. Agido means it doesn't grow.
It doesn't have to it any growth.
Okay.
Any greater, it doesn't increase.
Right. That's a me'ach him ilanais ve'isim.
Asavin. And then the plant life is trees and grasses and other things.
Hulu, right. Ube eight chayim. Yeah. Yesh lahem chaf. What is chafayim?
Yesh lahem kolze.
Kolze.
They have this. Everything.
V'naisef av ze. Nefesh hachayinis.
Nefesh hachayis.
Hachayis.
Aruch. So. You have the inanimate, nothing there but dirt. Then you have something that has a power of growth, the trees.
Right.
And then you have the animals have all of this, right? Nice. They have kolze, all of this, and there is added to the animals a nefesh chayaruch, a spiritual chayas, which we call the nefesh of Bahamas. And in the speaking entity, there's added to all of this
nefesh ha-sichlis,
an intellectual soul,
nefesh ha-medaberes,
a soul which speaks.
V'hinei derech klal,
ha-balechayim,
right? Heim kolim be-bechinas devarim.
Beis devarim. Animals in general are they're formed, if you want to think about how animals are formed, by two things.
Hagof shabai ubechinas shemeach.
Their body is a growing thing.
Right. Sharei neilad katan v'nasa gadol.
You see, because the animal is born small. Animal is not born inanimate, right? That's not his first stage. He's born small, and then he grows. So that's a function of Sameach. Sameach is growth.
The nefesh shabai, he nefesh achayas lemina.
And the nefesh that he has is a soul of an man, is a living soul according to its species.
Okay. Umash shashnehem yatzu biyachad min ha'aretz.
And this that both of them came, right, as you said, right, with the Devar Hashem, right? They came together from the earth. They just sprung up. No egg before the chicken. The
right.
Chicken just sprung up. So they were created body and soul together.
Through
the word of Hashem. So this means that these two levels, plant life and animal life, yeah, even though they include two levels, one higher than the other.
The Ma'alim Zu, right? Aval heim simuchim zeleze.
But they're close to each other. The vegetative and the animal kingdom are close to each other. Remember we said that these four levels are connected to four levels of the
Shem
Havai, right? So he didn't, I need a proper prayer to say something because he just is not going to explain it. The Yud is the symbolic of Chachma, and who has Chachma?
The
Medaber. Yeah. Right.
It's just a nefesh ha-sichlis. It's not necessarily.
Yeah, but it's part of the intellectual Chabad, right? It's part of the intellect. It has mind. It has a true mind with its threefold structure, Chachma, Bina, and Das. And the others, okay, so, but the hallmark of it is Chachma.
The Chai or the Medaber?
No,
oh, so the humans, you're
saying. The human.
Okay.
He has a mind. He has a
right, okay.
He has a nefesh ha-sichlis, the predominant and deepest faculty of it. Right? That's the Yud. And he's created from the dirt. Which of the letters on quiz? No, I won't point that out. Which of the letters in the letter or the letter name of Hashem corresponds to earth?
Okay.
There's no one. Don't eat the fourth. Which A?
Oh, last A.
The last A. Remember the last A? We've learned this before. The last A is Malchus. Malchus is earth, womb. Earthiness, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in the Shem Havayah, you have the Medaber unifying the highest level, the Yud, and the last Tay. And the animal, the plant, is the Vav, and the animal is the A in proximity to the Vav.
So plant and animal are in proximity to each other. Now they both have life, and the animal adds to the life a degree, I mean, they both have growth, and the animal adds to it a degree of mobility, sensitivity, which we call love. So animal and plant are smuchim zelazer, right? They're near to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And human is from two disparate, two ends of, two opposite sides of the earth. And because they're near each other, they can join together simply.
Putting the plants and the animals.
Yeah.
They can eat.
They can only eat it straight from the ground, right?
Yeah, they don't have to cook.
Oh, you're saying the animals.
Animals. Right? The hay and the vav. Or the vav, if we go from bottom up, the vav is the reason, one of the reasons that the vav, that one of the things we learn from the vav being the shape it is, it's in the shape of like a sprout.
Oh.
A sprout.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A tree. It has a bottom and a top, right? The others are more, the yud that really has no bottom. I mean, you have to look closely.
It's like the seed and the root. You know, you ever saw a picture of remember, like as a kid, the science experiments of putting a seed in the ground, you see the roots coming down?
Right, in water.
But it could also be that. The chokhmah is the seed, and then the roots are there.
And the roots come down.
And the rest of the world.
So that, but that's that's an intrinsic outcome from this little seed, right? It's designed to create a vertical structure.
Right.
And that vertical structure we call growth, from smallness to largeness, from bottom to top, it sprouts up from the bottom. And I like what you said. And the animal can eat it. No prep.
Right.
Very close. They're in proximity. Plants and animals would do very fine without humans.
That's the mice in New York.
Okay. But here's what we're going to get to here in understanding is this. Yes, so why were we created, right? If we are, I mean, think about it.
Because we can affect change in a totally different way.
Right. And we
we're given powers and energies that no one else is.
We are given power that is right.
And that's all Sarah's mimer. La, la, la.
Yeah.
Yeah, hi, she ye, yes, has a son. The base.
The bas.
The bas.
Achas.
Achas.
They were created with one, babas achas, in one fell swoop.
Babas. What is it?
In a bas. The bas achas. Bas is just a Fiat. F-I-A-T. Not the car. You know, just as you said before, with one mind.
Right.
He spoke it, and it's a possible. Vayayme vayay. He spoke, and it was. Basa. And because why were they created? They're close to each other. They can be created one other ends because these relationships are close to each other.
The aim they made him. Hapsak aid madrega acharat.
And there's not between them, between the plant and the animal, any interruption, any hefsek of another level in between. They're buddies, right? They're the A and the Vav, of the middle letters of the Shem of Ayah. This is Balechayim.
Balechayim, Gufam v'nafshem, hachyenis v'bas achas
k'nam. Therefore, the animal kingdom, their bodies, and their souls, their enlivening souls, were created at once.
They're
not unlike the human who's created through literally a distance of a jump. There's a big jump between the two extremes that are necessary for the human to exist, between the yud and the ke. Welcome. We have some paperwork that goes out here. Just bear with us. All right, who would like to summarize?
Should we finish the line and then summarize? You want to finish?
We'll finish the paragraph. Okay, good.
Can you hold the mic closer to you?
For you?
Yeah, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
A little closer.
Okay.
Okay.
Did we actually hear from the phone? So the human being, just to finish the sentence, the human being was created totally different than the way everything else was created. He was created.
So it's a long jump.
He looked higher.
So who wants to explain to these young folks?
We're talking about the way Hashem created the Daimim Tzemeach Chayim Medaber. Daimim are the inanimate objects, which is the soil, the earth, the rocks. The Tzemeach are the plants and vegetation. Chaya are the animals. And the Medaber is human life, human form. It talks about how with everything else, Hashem created with words, with Devar Hashem. And with humans, it started out, we were a lump of clay. So we're just talking about, like, why we're humans. We're getting to the point of, like, why we're humans created in this manner as opposed to the inanimate objects and the vegetation and the animals.
You follow? Okay. So what we just said now is there's a great jump. It's a quantum leap, so to speak. It's two different worlds.
But Diluc is not even... Is it a jump or is it like something...
Diluc means a jump. A jump. It's what when we left Egypt. That's the Medalag Alecha, we jumped out of Egypt. But it signifies in Chassidus the difference between an orderly progression of cause and effect and a, wow, where did that come from? That's the jump, right? So we have in the name of, we also talked a little, it's an aside, but it's worth important, that these four levels, we'll start from the top, speaker, human, the animal, the plant, and the veg and the earth, each signify one of the four letters in God's name, Yud, Ke, Vav, Ke. So the concept of Yud is intellectual, mind, the root of which is Hach, which is a point. Now, you ask questions, because I don't know where you guys are, any understanding. I mean, it either I'm too simple or complex, you tell me. It's Yud, right? Yud is Hach, right? And we're created in a twofold dance that really spans, jumps totally across the stage from the Yud to the last Hay, because the last Hay is Malthus, which is Earth, planet Earth, dirt. And that's how he created us, in a two-step dance. One, he created the dirt, and two, he blew a soul from the Yud into that lump of dirt. Okay? Totally different, as Esther has said, from everything else in creation, which everything else in creation was created by Maimer Echad. He said, let there be vegetation, boom, there it was. Let there be animals, boom, there it was. But we're in this dance of two steps where the steps are very far apart from each other. It's a very big jump, a leap. Why? Lucy, you want to carry on?
To give somebody else a chance to read.
We're giving anyone else who wants to read, we're giving people chances to read. Baby.
Wow.
Amnon.
Amnon Mashe Gufo, Haya Domen Davka.
That which the human being's body was made of inanimate matter specifically. It's according to what is known that.
If Adam who Aquas.
That the human being is the whole intent of the creation. As we brought earlier, a pasuk in Tillim, David HaMelech says, Acher v'kedem satan, last and first you created. What does it mean? We were created last, and yet we were first in God's intention. Which is not an uncommon thing, right? I mean, the end result is what you're after. And to get the end result, you have to have started with some kind of a concept, right? So the fact that we are created last, we have to take as an indication that we are coming from the deepest levels of God's intention. So we were last in terms of the deed, but we're first in terms of his thought. So we are called the Tachlis HaBriah. We're the whole intention of why God created everything else in the first, in the earth before us.
The Datsach
is an abbreviation for Daimim, inanimate, Sameach, plant, and Chai. Now this needs a little explanation, right?
He said, before the explanation, forgive me, but may I please interject something?
Pardon me? Sure.
I,
Thank you, because I know that we're all sensitive to the language and the word choices, and I know that I remember reading and learning how the Rebbe, Alav Shalom, was so sensitive to word choice that he took issue when the Tanya was translated using the word inanimate and instead corrected it to be silent. Because rather than inanimate, he said, but everything, even what may appear to not, still has the flow of energy from a Kodesh Baruch Hu going through it. And so he used the word silent.
Excellent. And you should know, I mean, I just want to elaborate on what you're saying. The word daimin, which we've been touching as inanimate, like dirt, right? Number one, she's saying two things that I hope is clear. One, there cannot be anything that exists at all without the godly energetic bringing it into being. So therefore, inanimate would imply that it has no animus. And in one sense, that's right. It's not animated. And we have that word also. It's not animated. You don't see it moving around, the dirt. But on the other hand, as Eliza is her name, thank you, has pointed out, there's a certain mistake that you could make by thinking of it as having no life in it. Because nothing can exist without God's putting life into it. It's just that the quality of that life is, the word daimin also simply means in Hebrew, silent, quiet. So it's quiet. Thank you.
Is that someone who's daimin in modern Hebrew? Is that someone who's not deaf, but mute?
Mute.
Is that what it means
also? Yeah. We have the word dumb. It's dumb. It's alliterative of that, dumb. Dumb. I mean, and dumb also, Eliza, brings out your same point. We wouldn't want to call a person a dumb person, because it has the connotation of stupid. But its regular meaning, we saw another regular meaning. It simply means quiet, deaf and dumb, quiet.
Blind, deaf.
So the earth is
Ilem is quiet. Ilem is mute.
Earth is dumb. It's not stupid. It's quiet. And actually, that brought out a point that we need to bring out for you guys who came in a little late. That itself, the fact that before we get to this strange dichotomy of being created from the highest and the lowest, just the fact that we were initially created from the lowest gives us a quality that no one else, no other thing in creation has, which is called shiftless, the ability to feel low, the ability to, we had a conversation, but we'll just use it to humble ourselves in front of others and to not be full of our pride and ego. So that's a quality that's built in, a very positive quality built into the fact that we're created dumb, meaning silent and like the earth.
Well, and so I remember learning in like science class or whatever, in like high school or something, that we're all made of carbon.
Well, we're all made of carbon, hydrogen, oxygen, and nitrogen.
Yeah, that's like all there is. Carbon or something.
We are billion-year-old carbon. We are. I don't know about billion years.
It's all vegetation and animals, it's all carbon.
I mean, it's a beautiful point. Think about these. These are all, if you ever learn chemistry, I'm sure somebody of this knows some of you, they're all in the chart of inorganic elements, right? Inorganic, you know the difference between an inorganic and organic element? An inorganic is a complex hydrocarbon that manifests life. So there are either organic and inorganic are the raw elements which become the building blocks for life. And this itself is a miracle. Think about this. You take oxygen and carbon. Carbon is, if you haven't seen it, it's just a leftover from a burning coal, right? Carbon, hydrogen, and nitrogen. All of these things have no, they're dynamic. They're quiet. They have no apparent energetic of life in them whatsoever. But they combine in a miraculous way to transform into something totally, a big hibbish, life, newness, right?
What's the third plague of Noah?
Kenan.
What's the what?
I'm thinking Dom's for
that. No, no.
Kenan. Yeah.
Of course.
Diamond Sameach Chai.
I forget that.
Okay.
Okay.
So what were we saying? What were you saying? What we need to explain on the page. So we have the quality of being more down to earth, that's a figurative way I'm using it, than any other creature. We have that ability. And that
can I ask you a question?
Yes.
You know, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but it sounds like you're going to move on before I get to ask my question about Acho Vakedim Tzartani.
Okay.
I always thought that Tzartani means you gave me tzaros, like you tortured me.
No, you gave me form.
But Getcha. It's the same root.
It is the same root. I think I would be surprised, and I could be surprised if you look up in English. If you look up in English, you have an English pill in there. I would be surprised if it means you gave me trouble, tsar. Because it's always, in my learnings and over the years, and it's always translated, last and first, yotza, you formed.
Well, I'm sure it's translated like that, but you know how you say there's no Jew without tzaros, you know?
Yeah, I get where you're going. I mean, it is a nice, it's an interesting thing to say, and there are a lot of interesting things to say by thinking about how words are the same letters form different, very different meanings. But I believe the pshat here is last and first you formed. Yeah, it could be useful to think about, what would you do with it? Last and first you gave me trouble. You mean like all the time?
I would simmer in misery.
What?
I would simmer in righteous misery.
I guess it's like a paradigm shift.
Okay, so let's not go there. Simmering in righteous misery.
Well, technically you could if you looked at it from that paradigm.
Sure, you could. But I think that's the pshat. And that's the pshat I've always heard when teachers have taught it to me. That last and first before me. And it does bring out what he's after here, right? We were created in a twofold process. We were last in the creation and first in his thought. And at the same time, we were first created by the last in level, the lowest level, the dirt. And then later, he blew the living soul into. Yeah.
Which obviously was the first intention.
Which was his first intention. Tachlis Habriya.
Even though we're created after the net.
Yeah, we are. Then the gnat is a little bug that was created on day, when did he create the animals? Day six?
Five.
Yeah. And even a gnat precedes us in terms of the order of creation. But here we're flipping it around. The order of creation doesn't indicate the value. On the contrary, the value is upside down. That which was created last, man, is the highest value, is the tachlis of the Bria, the whole purpose of the creation. And what we said, and I'm just going to explain what you said, the last phrase here. And what is it? What is the tachlis of creation? Is it? What were we created for? And you said, Lies Milus Metsoitse Shinofle Begatzach. We have the quality to elevate the sparks which fell down into the levels of from the ground up, from the inanimate, the plant, and the animals. Where do they fall from? Some of us maybe at the table know, or someone online.
Wait, what's that?
Where do the sparks fall from?
Yeah.
From the world of Toyhu.
From the sphere of the kingdom.
Mm-hmm. What's called the breaking of the vessels, which we're not going to, he's not going to go into, he's taking it for granted that we understand what this was. As I said last time, since we're learning in this departure happens to be in Bereshis, so one of the multitude of explanations about why the Torah begins with a bay. It's the beginning. You begin with an aleph. It's because this whole, what do you want to say?
Bays racious.
There are two heads. But that's the difference.
Racious to Wasai and racious to
Itapa. Also a difference. The one I'm after here is because it's the second order.
Okay.
The second order. The first order was the order of Toyin. And it speaks about that. The world was in a state of confusion as a result of falling sparks that burst open from the first order of creation. The reason given in Chassidus, which you have to think about, one has to think about, is that the way that first order of creation was designed everything that exists, and we'll go back to Elisa's comment, everything has a certain investment in it of what we call elikus, godliness, which is often translated divinity. There's an elikus, a spark of godliness in everything, otherwise the thing wouldn't exist, right? So these sparks or light, fragments of light, are called lights, auras. And they're in contained in vessels. And the metaphor I always use, I think it's rather practical, electricity in a light bulb. If you had electricity without the bulb, you'd have no light. And if you had the bulb without the electricity, you'd have no light. You need lights, electricity, energy in vessels. So the energy in vessels. Now, what happens when you, let's say, a megawatt of electricity were to hit a light bulb? What would happen? It explodes, right? So that's called Sphira Sekhela. The way it's described in Kabbalah is the lights, the energy in that world was much greater than the ability of the vessels to contain it, and therefore the shards fell down, the broken fell apart into this world. And into this world are the broken vessels and broken fragments of light that fell, and where did they fall? They fell into what this world is composed of inanimate plant and animal. And we, since we run the gamut or bridge the gulf, that's the better, we don't run it, we bridge the gulf from the highest to the lowest, we have the ability to rectify.
Rectify because what?
Before the beginning? Let's explain, I'll explain it maybe now from the bottom. That the world we live in, just take a look at the world we live in. Most people, I think, and you could tell me if anybody disagrees, would probably admit that the world is in a fairly broken state. Nobody gets along. Marriages are dissolving. People are deciding not to have children. Why? Like my old former idol many years ago, Bob Dylan, said, you've hurled the worst fear that's ever been hurled, the fear to bring children into the world. Like, for what? And what do I need this pain for? I'll have a dog. Why won't you even have a dog? I'll have a pet caterpillar. Right. Doesn't bother me at all. The world is, and we look at politically what's going on in the world. And people cannot get together. People have talked about world peace as long as the world existed, and the world has not been in peace. The world has been broken. And we Jews, amongst other peoples, have been the object of that brokenness for generations and generations and generations. So if you're nodding your head, which you are, and a few people are, you can see that the world is broken. And the function of the godly, of the Torah, which the Rebbe always pointed out, that Torah is Neloshin Hora, it means teaching. The function of the Torah is to teach the world how to, what I always, you know, you've heard of Humpty Dumpty, right? How to bring Humpty Dumpty together, how to heal the world, right? So to heal the world, you have to reach down into the bowels of, or the source of brokenness.
Yep.
That's a cleavage. But that was a God-intended cleavage. For the sake, but it's a model of the same thing, a cleavage that is meant to be healed, meaning a duality that's meant to experience unity. People, we're meant to be separate people. We're not meant to be one blob. We're meant to be separate. But each one of us have within us a piece of the all, a piece of the angel, a piece of the infinite. And that, if we pay attention to it, brings us together in a harmony, in a collaboration. Deborah and I were talking over. She's attending a little group that's called Repair the World. Tikkun HaOlam, that's the expression in Hebrew, to fix the world. This is the source of why the world needs fixing. Because from the beginning of time, before the beginning of the time we know, but from the beginning of time, Hashem created a state of brokenness. And he wants us to heal it. And they say, just like there's, when a broken bone heals, stronger than it was in the first place. So God wants an improvement through healing the brokenness, which Shlomo HaMelech
and I've said this 100 times almost every night I have a class, because it always comes up. Loma Melech said, there's an advantage of light which comes from darkness. There's an advantage of healing religion. There's an advantage of solving a problem. There's an advantage of, to imagine a kid putting together a broken toy. He feels like he did something. Taking part in putting it back, that's it. He took it apart, God took it apart, and wants us to put it back together. That's what's going on. Well, he actually did give us a real job to take, to elevate, Mila, to elevate the sparks that fell in the first place. And our Yadesh, how do we do that? In that we make secondary all the affairs that we have in life that we need. We need bread to eat. We need a garment to enclose ourselves in, right? And the human that we are has a knowledge built into us of how to use those things in a manner which serve God. So, again, we could live. I mean, see, we opened up a big channel here. We can live a toihu life in this world. We can live a life of brokenness. We can live a life where, well, and God forbid it should be this way, but I know, and you probably know people who are slaves to the bread, slaves to the money, slaves to the passion, slaves to, what else did he say? The garments, the most beautiful, the most expensive, because they're nothing without it. It feeds the ego, right? And there's a spectrum of this. Everybody has a little bit. Everyone wants to feel good in a piece of clothing, right? And wear something nice. But you can go off the deep end with this as well.
But right? If you're looking,
what's your name, by the way? Malka, welcome.
Oh, you're the Malka who asked the question about why isn't it in English? No, but some Malka said to me, well, why isn't this in English? That was you.
We have a queen at the table.
Yeah,
okay.
Excellent. Okay.
I wanted to say that when it comes to the fine balance of, like, the gashmi,
yeah,
if you're wearing it because, let's say, Kisser Shulchan Aruch talks about how a Jew should dress and how a Jew should walk. If you're doing it, and we're not allowed to wear ripped clothes.
No,
actually,
we can't be slobbed.
We're not allowed to be slobbed.
No.
We have to have a clean house. We have clean clothing. So if you, and you're supposed to look nice.
Yes.
So if you do it because that's, you know, you're representing a Jewish person and you're doing it for, you know, for the right reasons, then it's a great thing. And also the Rebbe used to always stress gashmius before ruchnius.
Right.
Because he would say that a yid's gashmius is ruchnius.
A yid's gashmius is ruchnius. That's the heart of this story. That the dirt is full of power. The dirt can become life. Right? It can spring to life. But it needs an agent to work on, right, which is our consciousness, the way that we relate to matter, the way we relate to clothing, the way we relate to possessions, etc., etc. The way we have, that's what he's saying. We can elevate or bring together, you not bring them all together in the service of God and not use them just to stuff myself with or to create a good appearance for the sake of look at me, right? It all depends. It's very subtle. How you do? Sure. And again, look at that. It gives you confidence to what? I mean, you've probably seen movies or maybe even know people that the fact that I have confidence means number one, I can come out and we'll have a class. I have enough confidence to give a class. Someone else has enough confidence to actually do a TED talk, and go on stage and bring people closer to the truth, right? Someone else, I mean, think of all the stars, you know, who went on stage solely for the purpose of aggrandizing to themselves either money or fame, sex, or whatever it was, you know? So it all depends on how you use it. And that's what he's saying here. We have the ability to make secondary for our own needs. And it isn't just for our own needs that we eat and drink, etc., etc. Yeah.
So what about the idea that
Well, that's a whole topic in itself. Why good things happen to bad people? Why Rishoyim are the evil ones? We'll put that aside. That is a topic in itself.
Sometimes they get it now versus getting anything later. That's just the short.
Okay, but we have the ability to take the lowest of the low and utilize it. Put it like this. We could take a diamond ring and sell it for funding a yeshiva, right? Or we could take a diamond ring and wear it to simply attract people to how beautiful it is. So we have that ability. We're like a dichotomy. Yeah, everything else is not a dichotomy. Everything is a unit. Varashem, Varashem. And we are a dichotomy. We're the dichotomy between the highest and the lowest. And part of that is that we should bring our highest to the lowest and rectify the sparks in order to serve Hashem with the low stuff. Derek Marshall?
Derek Marshall. Derekim le'hashpia eze dvar
nicha. So he's going to give a mashal now, a metaphor for understanding this dichotomy, how the highest has to get attached to the lowest. It has the ability to bridge a big gap, right? And in bridging that gap, by elevating the things which are low, our food, our drink, the cloth that makes our garments, etc., we actually elevate them to a much higher level. This is the advantage of light which comes from darkness, or, for those who were here the last few weeks, this is called the Or Chozer, that we reflect back a light, which the metaphor of the reflected light is like a mirror, like a rear view mirror. You look here, and you're reflecting back to something that was way beyond what you could see without the mirror. Couldn't see behind. So the bottom of the rung, the hydrogen, the carbon, and the oxygen, etc., have a quality that brings to life if it's utilized, combined, the way it's meant to come, utilizing and can be combined. So we have the power, by taking ourselves down into the low, to bring out the greatness of the lowness. So he's going to give an example, a metaphor. Go ahead. This is called, go ahead. A kli hagavoha, a tool, a vessel, which lifts things up, which is called, anikra, a lever.
Oh.
A lever. Lever. I guess it's a Yiddish word, but I don't know. A lever. You know what a lever is? In English, L-E-V-E-R. A lever. Well, he's going to describe. Okay. You have a flat tire on a car, right? Okay, you take out a jack and you put it underneath, specifically underneath, and it gives you, and this is leverage, right? And you pump from the bottom up. So let's look at a lever. What do you have to, how do you use a lever?
So you can use the walking.
Atachtoyne. So if you want to lift something up, you have to put the lever where it grasps the very bottom of the thing, Shaboy, of the thing, Dafka, specifically.
Bias.
Like in order to lift up a wall, the wall of a house.
Oh.
Ever seen people construct a house, they build the walls on the side and then they pop them up? Mm-hmm. Is the old country way of building a barn. You go on Google and watch barn building. Yeah. So you lift up the walls of the house. What do you, how to do that?
Okay, we can
You have to first begin with lifting up the low wood, the wood that's at the bottom, dafka, specifically. Amen. And automatically, that will lift up the things which are on top. Getting it?
It's like a forklift.
A forklift, right. You put the fork underneath the box,
And when you lift the bottom of the box, what happens to the top of the box? It goes up too, right? So, okay. Hashem Ken, on the other hand,
Im Haya Maskil, Hotel.
If you began and you stuck your lever in the beginning, in the middle of the box, you might cut the box in half, and you leave the bottom behind. You will have lifted the entire structure. So think about this. God wants us to raise the entire structure of reality. That's what he wants us to do.
By going down.
As you said, the Rebbe always thinks about the gash. Maestro hu ha'ikra. It's a very interesting, Lisa and other people talking about roots, and Elisheva also likes it. Maestro hu ha'ikra. The word ikra means root. When you talk about the root of a plant, it's called the ikra. And Maestro hu ha'ikra, and I truthfully have not thought of this till now, so I'm inventing it, but the deeds that we do will lift up the root.
Oh.
Right? And when you lift up the root,
yeah.
And when you lift that up, you're lifting the whole creation. If everything is falling apart from, you know, top to bottom, then we're going to lift up the whole structure. And that's the function of a human. And the reason we can do that is twofold. I mean, a little bit of a story. One, because we have the highest of the highest within us. No other creature has the power of what we called earlier, the Nefesh HaSichli, the power of ultimately of Chokhmah. And no other creature was created first from the dirt.
I just have the analogy. You know how, like, the Rebbe goes and talks about, you know, a tree, when at the instant of seed, if you scratch the seed, it will be flawed from the get-go. You know, like with a child, with a marriage, if it's not founded on the proper principles, if it's broken from the start. It just seems like we're backpedaling. Like the world was fractured from the get-go.
It was fractured from the get-go.
From the beginning, from the start. So we're just constantly like backpedaling and fixing, and it's like.
Except for your emotions, that are
going
back. Except for that, the answer is yes. Hashem broke the world. He created a broken world. He created a world. Look, nothing happens without his intent. Right?
Yes. You know, I'm not like.
Yes. But the answer is yes.
Right. So essentially, then everything is broken from the get. Everything is anything.
Okay, if I may, the brokenness is actually there in order to build from. Think about Tanayim. Okay?
Well, I'm not thinking that. Yeah.
But we take a plate, we break it in order to build a marriage. And that's just one example. But whatever the brokenness is, we're taking the shards and finding, you know, all the different sparks within it in order to build. I just think Tanayim, because it's just a concrete and easy, you know, thing to picture.
That concept is even in some Hasidics that I've heard applied to what they call the original sin, the Chet Etz Hadas. Because nothing is, man makes his her free choice. But at the same time, everything is under the domain of God. Yes, two go together. Another subject, another conversation. Beautiful topic, talked about a lot. How do Hashgacha Pratis, divine providence, and free choice go together? But they do, right? They do. The simple answer, and I'm not going to, I don't want to get into this, is that God himself is not visible to us, that's for sure, and not tractable in our logical minds is way beyond, right? So we don't have visibility into that which is ein od milvado, there is nothing besides it. We don't have visibility. Because in this world, and even higher world, but in this world, everything is shattered. The light is overcast with clippers, with shells. And in that lowered state, this is, by the way, for those of you who want to learn this week's Parshas Vayera, Hashem goes down to Sodom, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
He goes down to Sodom. And because Sodom is the place of tremendous evil. Where does that come from?
that comes from a darkening, concealment of the realms of godliness which are beyond. And in the realm of darkness, we have choice, because we don't see the kavana, the intention of what God wants. We have to work at it. And we can only work on it if there's a certain amount of dark, right? We have that darkness, and all the brokenness is meant to strengthen us, just like push-ups and exercise, right? The world has been created in such a way, he wants us to push against a hard place in order to strengthen ourselves to become better than we would be if he had not given the broken experience in the first place. Tough to take sometimes. Yeah. Yes. Work on ourselves. Yeah. The whole world was created for me. In fact, this is There's
purposes out for me.
Absolutely. Right, exactly. And the Friedrich Rebbe in Hayom Yom, this book that the Rebbe put together of sayings of the Friedrich Rebbe, makes a bit, that's one of the Yom Yoms, that every person should know that wherever you are, including, and often, at least at first glance, unfortunately, in states that need healing, in states that need, that are problems, wherever you are, God has put you there in order to create a rectification, to fix. And you're there because he put you there. Sometimes we walk away from it, run away from it, and don't bother, and we don't make the tikkun, we don't make the fixing that was an opportunity. The Rebbe has famously said something that somebody asked him about how the problems he's having. And he said, there are no problems. There are only opportunities. But that's the attitude.
More we want to raise from these things, the more they pop up in our lives. It's like, take care of it. It's like a notification on your phone that you keep ignoring, but then it pops up the next day and you ignore it. And then when you finally do it, you're like, oh, you know.
So God, for most people, God makes sure that you get to some degree of lowerness, of brokenness, of difficulties, opportunities, in order to use your yud, your intellect, yud, the power that that has, to wreck to fix it.
Ultimately, what I was getting at was this exact point. I was saying it seems like we're backpedaling, but the point was is that everything from the get-go, from the beginning, whether it's a child, whether it's a marriage, whether
right.
it's a building, whether it's anything that you're trying to, there's going to be challenges no matter what. There is no ultimate state of perfection within those things. Because the world was created with this brokenness.
Yeah, exactly. And in the metaphor,
right.
you really got to get down, as
right.
they say. You have to get down to the bottom. Put your lever at the bottom in order to raise the top. That's an amazing metaphor. I think that's what I said. But it's an amazing metaphor. You have to get down. We're learning. This is a mimer of the Alter Rebbe, the founder of Chabad Chassidim. Yeah. Okay, let's have someone else. Well, let's finish this then. Masha Einkin. He said you have to, if you put your lever at the bottom, it will also not only lift the bottom, but it will lift the top. Right? And the line begins with abbreviation. Masha Einkin, on the other hand.
Einkin,
we said this. Go ahead. If you put your lever in the middle of the wall that was trying to erect, stand up. It won't lift up the foundation. It won't lift up the bottom. Anyone else want to continue? I see you're busy. Anybody else want to say? Go ahead. Kamoikin, similarly. Is the mic picking it up?
Okay. Let me turn it just a little bit.
Well, let me turn it a little bit for you. Elisa, tell us if you're not hearing, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Ms. Labsha. So, similarly to this lever, the soul of a person is enclosed in a body, the dirt, the bottom, right? Yeah, from the level which is
called daimi, which I was calling inanimate, which will mean silent, doesn't have any apparent, no apparent liveliness there, right? Which is the lowest of everything. And we, because we have that, we're made partly from that. We can lift it up. We can automatically lift it up. No other creature can do that, because they aren't created from the dirt. Right? That's, yeah, turning problems into opportunities.
Stuff that's like a rock, you know, uplifting that.
Let's start with the simple things, like a rock, a diamond, right? We talked about a diamond before, right? If you use that, first of all, a diamond is going to be used to make machinery. It's the hardest stone there is, and we make tools with diamonds, right? Right? We don't just let it lay in the ground in its covered over state. We polish it, and say, and that itself is a metaphor. You find ourselves in a, initially, we have a lot, I'm not talking here, I'm just saying everybody. This is an everybody, not from problems that the person has. Everybody is in a state that needs to be developed from birth, right? You don't stay where you are as a little kid. There's something in us that wants us to grow, not only physically, mm-hmm. like a plant, but spiritually, because we have a godly soul. Or we have a piece of God within us, right? And so that piece of God within us is saying, is always speaking. A lot of times it's not heard, and that's spoken about a lot in Vasudhas, how the divine spark can be covered over and silenced. Another word for diamond, it can become silenced. You don't hear. Call the mama doctor. Because he wants us to work at it. He has created us with Bahira. It's not a given thing. He didn't create the world like, here's the Nefesh HaLakis, and no problem, it'll fix up everything. It's not equal. No. You have to work. It's very small in its terms of its revelation. And the reason for that is discussed at length in the very first and second chapters of the Tanya. The reason is the very first enlivening energy that enters a human is the animal soul. It's just alive. I'm alive. But I haven't got any developed consciousness yet, right? And so after a period of time, in a male it's 13 years, it takes for this godly piece of oneself, whatever you want to call it, to be first become injected into you and to grow and grow and grow. And in a woman it's 12 and a half, bat mitzvah. Is the time when he said, but, and this is all Tanya, this is all, but in that 13 or 12 and a half years, you become accustomed to living an animal kind of life, right? You're hungry, you eat, you know, you don't like what your mom puts on the table, so you throw it over your shoulder, you know, in the radiator or whatever, right? And it takes time for this godly soul to begin to start to teach you that there are other things. And as that godly soul grows, and you've not been taught, let's say you've not been taught Torah, so you don't really know what's happening, except you're getting interested and having yearnings for things, and you don't know exactly where to put them, right? You don't know exactly where to put them. And that can lead to a lot of chaos, a lot of chaos. I want to be more spiritually developed. But no one taught me exactly where, but now I'm listening to the internet, and I could go thousands of different places. I could begin to go into cryptocurrency. Well, that might feel really. Or I could go to Nepal, and I could meditate on a mountaintop, right? So the spirit does start coming through, but the spirit has to learn how to optimize itself. And so things that initially are covering it over, but it's a really powerful furnace. It's just been encased in a very powerful shell, and what we need to do is break the shell.
Question.
and they just like keep it built up. But for some reason, they never wanted to discover, develop that fact that they keep.
There are a lot of people like that, not only Russians. There's a lot of people. A lot of people don't. A lot of people don't know that they have. Right.
They do have moments every so often that it keeps them like.
I'll tell you what. Their purpose is the same as ours. Why, you're asking why they haven't discovered their purpose. If that's the purpose, then that's a good question. If this is the purpose for which we were created, why doesn't every person discover it? Just to do a favor for another. You know that song?
Mm-hmm.
For 70, 80 years, and the Shema wears and tears. Just to do a favor for another. That might be their whole purpose in life. The fact that they earned $100,000 and they gave $50,000 to some charities. And that's it. Okay? But that is the deal. We are meant to elevate. And to the extent, and by the way, your question is an excellent question, because the whole process of learning Hasidus is the process of shaving away, making thinner and thinner and thinner that covering.
The callus.
Huh? The callus, right.
Or tanning the leather.
Tanning the leather, softening the leather. These are all metaphors we've been using before. Like a shoe prevents you from getting your foot into thick skin. You got to thin out the skin, tanning the leather. That's what we were created for. And not everybody, you know. And, I mean, we could talk about this all night. It's a topic of work.
Mm-hmm.
Because in my experience anyway, that the people who are most encased in the hardness are not the happiest people. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Continue, right?
Yeah, not so
much. Okay, we got the train of thought? Train of thought? Train of thought? Okay, so we have the ability to elevate anything. And if we put our lever at the bottom, right? I mean, just worth maybe saying, what's the bottom for you? I mean, think about it. What's the bottom for you? What's your bottom? What's your difficulty? What's your dirt that you've got to, you know, get down and dirty in? I mean, I'm not asking everyone to say it, but that's kind of what we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
Getting down and dirty, getting down in your dirt and looking at it as an opportunity for tikkun. Fix it. All right. So if you get down there, you know, you'll erase everything. Who was reading? Oh yeah, go ahead. Yala oisim umamela yisalim. Are you on that line?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yala oisim umamela yisalim.
Grandma Tamir, where?
Then the next line.
Oh, okay, fine. So let's finish translating the line. If you reach down, you'll raise up everything. If you start with the dirt, so the plant level will be up, that will be raised as well, which is higher than the inanimate or the silent. Baal Shem Zeh. And because of this, Nikra. We are called a medaber, a speaking entity. Miloshin. It's also a pasuk in Tehillim that he overpowered or prevailed over the nations. It's a loshin daber, daber amin, that the king is daber amin. So the power that we have with that yud, that power of soul, which is really, really high and not like any other thing in creation, that the power it has is to get down into the low and raise from the lower, and that's called subjugating or having power over the lowest things, over the dirt, over the lowest. Because that power that we have, this is the power of the king. Daber Amit, he rules over the people, which means to say that he conducts everything. By raising up everything. This is initial, I mean, this is worth a sentence, if not a night, the Jewish king, the King Mashiach. We're used to seeing kings who are more like despots than kings, you know what I mean? Who force themselves onto the people. You know, the king of the Tsar forced himself onto the people. The Roman emperor forced himself onto the people. Ruled, and we call him king, and we call him whatever we call him in whatever language. But the Jewish king also rules over everything, but rules over them by understanding what each one of them needs, by being shuffled, by being low in front of everybody, and humbling himself to understand what's the best for the kingdom.
I mean, he enforces the Torah, though. And yeah. Back in the day when there was a Sanhedrin.
He enforces it, but that's, yes. And it can come across, and it does, with Gevura. But it's enforcement of what's good for the nation, what's good for the people, what's good for every individual. That's Torah law. It is law.
Yeah. Right.
It is Gevura, yeah. It doesn't have to come across like hugging and kissing. But the point is, what it's designed, it isn't designed for the improvement of the king, that the king should get more horses, you know, or the king should have more women or more control. It's designed for the good of the people.
Right.
Yeah. So he can elevate everything through his avoidance. He, meaning the king, and we all have that power within us because we're humans and we're Jewish humans. Mahine.
Jewish
one. Jewish one? So this is the capability, this to raise the low, and in raising the low to raise all the layers of creation. This is specifically the power of an other, a human. Yan, because Mahinus. Because he's the category of a Medarber, the speaking, the highest then, which is the highest of everything, the Kulam. And he's enclosed, he's the highest of everything, and he's enclosed in the dirt, in the lowest. Dafka, specifically. Not like the plant. The plant is also close to the dirt. The closest of to the dirt, right? In his nature, the plant needs to be in the dirt in order to live. But the plant doesn't have the Nefesh HaLakis, doesn't have that level of godliness intensity within him to be able to elevate the dirt. He needs the dirt, but can't elevate the dirt. Not like the Medaber. What can the plant do? The plant can give life to an animal. Right, that's the one that's next to him in the Seder, right? The dirt, the plant, the animal, then the human.
It's a man.
There's some. They're next to each other. The plant is next. The dirt has the plant next to it. The plant has the animal next to it. They're close to each other. And these two, the letter, the last A in God's name, and the Vav, which comes next to it, right? The last two letters, and Vav, are close to each other. The last A is the earth, and the Vav is the plant. And we spoke here, I don't know if you were here, why the Vav is the plant, because the Vav is a vertical process. It has a top and a bottom, and that's the plant. The plant grows from the bottom, starts, and grows up. There's a shoot, right? A shaft. So that's the relationship between the earth and the plant. It's a very close relationship. But the animal doesn't elevate the plant. The animal needs the plant. It eats the plant, but it doesn't elevate. Okay. So they're next to each other. This is the fina of Vav and the Hay. And then you have, then the next level up is the Vav, which is the plant life, next to the upper Hay, which is the animal. So the animal eats the ground, grass sprouts the plant, the animal eats the plant, and we take it all in, the whole structure. And because we're rooted in the Yud, which is connect, which it says we spoke about earlier. It's in, we're, the language that they used earlier, we have a nefesh asichlus, an intellectual soul.
Mm-hmm.
And we spoke out that the highest level of that intellectual soul is chokhma, chokhma din adas, chabad. And it says about chabad, about chokhma, that chokhma me'ayim timotze, chokhma comes from the ayim. Chokhma comes from the level of godliness that's not tangible whatsoever. That's beyond rationality. And because of that, we are, if you could say it, and I think we'll say it, it's true, more godly. We have a godly power within us, and that's the power we've been describing to elevate the entirety of creation. Everyone's soul comes from a different level, but all of us are rooted in what's called Machshava Elohim, the highest levels of God's thought.
Thanks.
That's a different. That's a different. We raise. That's a different idea, which we rise up even higher than the thought. But we're rooted in God's brain, in God's mind. Well, what do you mean in terms of itself? Higher than his thoughts, right? No. I said higher than his thoughts. Right. We're definitely higher than the mazel. It's an ein mazel b'yisroel. There's no mazel for Jews beyond mazel. But yeah, deeper in his thought. This is levels of consciousness, right? And there's conscious thought is words. When you think, you have some notation going on in your head, some language or some music or something going on in your head. And there's a deeper level of consciousness that precedes that, before thought. So we're rooted way up there. And it's specifically because we're rooted way up there that we can influence way down here. Because the higher you are, the lower you fall. A lot of Mishalim from this. One is the in Tanya, if you have a vertical rock made out of, or a wall made out of rock, and you knock it over, the high stones will fall farthest from the foundation. You shake a tree, a fruit tree, the higher tree will fall farther from the stock of the tree. So the higher it is, the lower it falls, the lower meaning it can deal with the lowest mm-hmm. worlds. Is the what? The highest soul what? That's an interesting idea. Maybe. I'm not sure about that. Does the higher soul get the biggest? That's an interesting idea.
A lot of the Kabbalim believe that.
They do? Did you say
that? I do say that.
The higher the soul, the bigger the opportunities.
The bigger the struggle.
The bigger the struggle. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yep.
So the ones next to each other don't have that kind of power. They don't have that power of infinite to reach down into the lowest and elevate it up, right? Avol, I'm going to read it until the end of there. Avol, however, the level of Bechinas Medaber begins with the level of the character, the quality of a character that is called a Medaber, that's us, who Yud, it's the Yud of the Shem Avaya, right? Last He is the earth, and the Vav is the plant, and then the next upper He is the animal, and we're the Yud of the Shem Avaya. And the Yud, if you look on a piece of paper, the Yud isn't just a simple dot, it has a kite, the kite is a little hook. It hooks upward. Shalamayla mayla min havav. And that's really even much, much higher than the vav. Ella, the bechinas, heitatoh, however, and it's much higher than the heitatoh, the lower level of hei, jehumokah, bechinas daimim, which is the source of the inanimate, humishlavish. And that's kaitza shalyu, that's the ayin, that's the infinite, beyond the rational, beyond the mind, higher, the window into the infinite. Is the hook on the yud, which we have as part of our godly soul. And that's that is able to come down, as I said, the higher it is, the lower it falls, upon using the principle that is articulated in Sefer Yetzirah, mm-hmm. that the beginning is wedged specifically in the end.
Is that like from dust?
No. I don't see that. No. Maybe you do. I don't see that.
How come he doesn't use the expression Saif Maisa B'machshava Tchila? That's really the one that's like...
That's akin to it. I think this is higher than that, if I had to answer that. Saif Maisa B'machshava, because we're speaking here higher than Machshava. the beginning, which is wedged in the end, is higher than the shift.
Okay.
That would be an answer.
Okay.
I mean, yeah.
But I always learned that expression in relation to man being created.
Yeah.
Right.
It's applied. Applied in similar situations. Psych my submission of the hero. The last indeed is first in thought. What time is it?
Yeah, it's past 10.
Gosh.
Yes. Okay, are we doing Let Us Make Man Again next week?
No.
No? What are we doing next week?
I'll tell you.
Once a week, every Tuesday night here, usually.
I thought you were. What we're doing next week, we're starting a new series. There are 4 weeks from next week to Yutes Kislev.
Oh, wow.
Right.
What?
So,
my Zadie's your
4 weeks.
Wow.
Now, everybody know what Yutes Kislev is? Yeah. Yutes Kislev is the liberation from prison of the Alter Rebbe. The founder, our founder of Hasidus, right? So I'm calling this, I forget the exact name, but Unchaining Hasidus.
Wow, I like that.
Right? Or something like that.
That's nice.
I sent you some words we could work with, but you don't do it like that.